are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. The Timberwolves did drop their seventh game in a row on Wednesday night, and it was yet another game that the Wolves had a legitimate chance to win. They ultimately fell to the Chicago Bulls in Chicago by a final of 117-110. Today, we're going to recap that game. We're going to talk studs and duds. It was actually a really entertaining game. The Wolves, again, I mean, they had a chance to win. So we'll talk a little bit about that, what happened on the stretch. We'll also finish by, we'll do studs and duds as well as we always do after games. Then we'll also talk in our final segment about Towns being, quote, as untouchable as they come. And this time you can take it from Gerson Rosas and not from me. Straight from the top. Towns is untouchable. Talking about it for weeks here on this podcast. So we'll break down that a little bit here at the end of the show. First, let's talk about Wolves Bulls from Wednesday in the Windy City. The Timberwolves were terrible early in the game. The Bulls built an early lead. The Wolves were awful on defense, and they really weren't very good on offense either early. There was very little ball movement. There was a lot of stagnant possessions with Napier driving into the paint and hoisting a shot, or Culver driving into the paint and hoisting a shot, or throwing the ball in the post to Towns and Towns shooting, which of course is if you're going to have a stagnant possession, I guess Towns is the guy you want taking the shot. But at any rate, the offense struggled. The defense was horrible. The rebounding was non-existent. The Timberwolves were down 9 by the end of the first quarter. The second unit came in the second quarter, was extremely active on defense, was competing, held the Bulls down, you know, decently well. However, the Wolves couldn't score. The second unit really struggled to score in this game. Nobody was in double figures in terms of the reserves for the Wolves. But they did battle back. I mean, they actually fell down by as many as 19 points midway through the second quarter, and that was mostly while Towns was on the bench. The Bulls built the 19-point lead. It really kind of felt like this game was getting away from the Wolves quickly. But they made a push at the end of the second quarter, actually won the quarter 26-24, which meant that they were down by only 7 points at halftime, which after being down 19 just a few minutes prior, I think everybody was pretty happy with. So down 7 at halftime. On the road to a team that's in a similar place as the Wolves, having a little bit of a disappointing season, although I guess the difference is the Bulls are coming on a little bit stronger and the Wolves are obviously have been struggling mightily since a strong start to the season. Third quarter, rebounding paint defense really, really became a big issue. Oh, I should also mention at halftime, Wiggins had not scored until right before halftime. He made a 3-pointer. I believe he had 0 rebounds at halftime. He may have grabbed one right at the end of the second quarter, but basically we'll call it 3-1 at halftime. Towns had 22 points at halftime, but he only had 2 rebounds. So weird first halves from those guys to find themselves down 7 with 3 points from Wiggins and between them 3 rebounds in 2 quarters of play. I mean, being down 7 wasn't the worst outcome at that point. The third quarter, the Bulls didn't actually make a shot from the field until about the 5-minute mark in the quarter, but it didn't matter that much. I mean, obviously the Wolves drew a little bit closer. I think there's even a little back and forth lead changes, but the defense, well, it was better. The Wolves were fouling and the Bulls were in the penalty very quickly in the third quarter. And they were fouled in the paint quite a bit. So it was a close game regardless, although the Wolves defense did step up a little bit. Andrew Wiggins came on strong in the third quarter. It was reminiscent of the other night when he had a terrible first half and 0 rebounds at halftime and then came on in the third quarter just a couple nights ago, actually. So who knows if there's another halftime challenge, if this is a new thing now where Wiggins doesn't do anything in the first half and then is awesome in the second half. But he was really good in the third quarter. The Wolves got all the way back into the game. And actually, in the fourth quarter, actually took a few leads early in the quarter. Then the Bulls kind of pushed back, took a 2-possession lead. The Timberwolves went up on a Towns bucket with 2 minutes and 15 seconds left in the game. The Wolves are up by 2. And it really seemed like they had that they were going to be able to hold on. The Bulls had gone cold from the field. Zach LaVine hadn't done much. I even fired out a tweet about how the Wolves had done a good job guarding Zach LaVine. I spoke too soon. He hit a big 3. Napier missed a bad shot and then threw the ball out of bounds the next time down the floor. And there was a bad couple of sequences there for the Wolves. And then ultimately they just couldn't hit a 3 from there on out. After shooting the 3 ball really well during the game, they went cold late, couldn't stop the Bulls. Chicago went on a 9-2 run to finish the game. And that was it. Missed threes from Jordan McLaughlin, Jarrett Culver. Eventually, once the game was pretty close to out of reach, missed threes from Towns and Andrew Wiggins, missed free throws from Wiggins. Even when they were down 7 with 15 seconds left, all he needed to do is make a couple free throws, and they still had a prayer, and he missed the first one, then intentionally missed the second. It was just a really disappointing finish to a game that the Wolves had a chance to win against a team that was certainly beatable. But at any rate, disappointing ending to the game. Overall, we're going to talk about studs and duds next, so we'll talk about individual performances. But just the same story. You know, they've lost 7 in a row now. 6 of the 7 have been games that are extremely winnable. They've been in the game. The majority of them have been against playoff teams. And while the Bulls aren't, they're not one of the worst 3, maybe 4 teams in the league, they're almost for sure not a playoff team. So this was a winnable game on the road against a team that they could have beaten. And they did a good job holding down the Bulls' best player in Zach LaVine. LaVine didn't really do much until late in the game. He had 25 points, still took him 18 shots to get there, but he hit 2 of his 3 made threes were pretty late in the fourth quarter. He only had 1 assist, 3 turnovers. The Wolves did a pretty decent job guarding him, but it was the other guys. It was the rest of the defense on the perimeter. It was the rest of the defense in the paint. It was the lack of defensive rebounding, allowing the Bulls to get 12 offensive rebounds on the game, getting out rebounded 50-43 as a team. And we'll talk individuals here in a minute. Towns had 6 rebounds. The Wolves didn't have anybody with more than 7 rebounds. They had 3 players with 2 or less rebounds in this game. So very disappointing in terms of the rebounding and the defense. The offense came around, although couldn't score at the end. Really, really no easy way to summarize this other than it was the same areas that the Wolves have really struggled in recently that cropped up at the end of this one that really hurt them. All right, next we're going to talk about studs and duds. First, did want to mention our friends at Indeed. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your shortlist of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job posts so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at indeed.com/lockedon and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's indeed.com/lockedon. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. Carl Anthony Towns dropped 40 in this game against the Bulls. If you're wondering why it took me almost 10 minutes into this podcast to talk about Towns dropping 40, it's because it wasn't that impressive of a 40. Early in the game, he was unstoppable. He had 16 or 17 in the first quarter, and the Bulls simply couldn't slow him down. He came back in the game after taking a rest in the second quarter. Same story. He was scoring in the post. He hit a couple of threes early. But the problem was he had 2 rebounds at halftime. He didn't rebound much better after halftime. On defense, Towns was getting into his old habits of basically getting caught in no man's land, where he wouldn't make a decision to help on a penetrating opposing player till the last minute, would come over and kind of give it a pointless wave at the ball, you know, to make it look like he was trying to block the shot. And I mean, I'm sure he was trying to block it, but it would be too late to have an effective contest on a shot, but it would be just late enough where if the shot did miss, then Towns' guy is standing wide open under the basket and gets a bucket. That happened more than a couple times in this game where Towns was just simply out of rebounding position, but he wasn't yet in help defense position either, and he wasn't able to recover to rebound the ball. That's something Towns really struggled with. I think it was the first year, and really, I guess, for parts of the second year with Tom Thibodeau as well, is Towns would start to be aggressive defensively, but it wasn't quite the right mix. And I don't know if it's just a timing thing or Towns is a smart guy. He knows he should understand that. The other issue is occasionally in pick and roll coverage, the Wolves were dropping too far in this one. And it wasn't because they were giving up mid-range jumpers. It was because they were really allowing an almost straight line drive to the basket because their coverage was so loose in the pick and roll. And that included Zach LaVine. It included Coby White, really anybody that handled the ball for the Bulls in this game. Chris Dunn, to some extent as well, was getting to the rim fairly easily. So Towns, I think Towns was a big part of that. I mean, he was struggling to contain in the pick and roll. He was struggling to help in a timely fashion on defense, and he just didn't rebound the ball well. That said, he's still getting a stud award for this game after complaining about all the things he did wrong. He still dropped 40, and he still was the Wolves' best all-around player on the floor simply because he was so effective offensively. 16 of 24 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3. He did get a little bit cold towards the end from deep. He only attempted 5 free throws, 4 of 5 from the line. Towns was, of course, in typical Towns fashion, complaining a lot about foul calls that weren't called, and he mostly had a beef with some of those calls, especially in light of the fact that Towns picked up his fourth foul midway through the third quarter, a little bit before the midway point in the third quarter, and had to go to the bench, and it was ticky tack. Towns gets himself into foul trouble with ticky tack fouls. On the other hand, why are the officials calling ticky tack fouls on Towns when he's getting hammered under the basket and not getting the foul calls? I'm not sure. Some of that's on Towns for he just needs to be more careful, and he gets so emotional and so upset when he doesn't get foul calls, and then it puts himself in a bad position on the defensive end of the floor. But at any rate, That was a thing, you know, 5 free throw attempts in 31 minutes on a guy that shot 24 times. And it's not like he shot 12 threes. He only shot 8. That meant that he took, and we all know Towns isn't taking mid-range jumpers. I don't think he took any in this game. He took 16 shots that were basically all in the paint and only attempted 5 free throws. And that doesn't quite match up. So at any rate, he finished with 40.6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers. He did have the 4 fouls. He was actually the worst plus minus in the starting lineup with a -7. Everybody else was even or plus. But he, you know, still an overall impressive game from Towns. It is the only time since his rookie season that Towns has had 4 consecutive games with less than 10 rebounds. All 4 games since he's come back from injury are less than 10. He's had less than 10 rebounds in each game. So that's disappointing, obviously, and you know that can happen a couple times and be fluky, and that's fine. And he's not just like padding his stats with easy rebounds, but he's also just not rebounding the ball enough. The Wolves are out rebounded 50-43, and that's an issue. Otherwise, in terms of studs, we're gonna give one to Andrew Wiggins. For as bad as that first half was, he was really good in the second half. There was a stretch in the fourth quarter where he single-handedly got the Wolves back in the game and was scoring in the paint, was scoring off his spin moves, was getting fouled. 25 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal. He did have 5 turnovers, and he shot just 1 of 6 from the free throw line. One of those misses was intentional, but take that out, he's still 1 of 5, and that's not great. 10 of 19 from the field, 4 of 10 from beyond the arc. Really cold early, got hot a little bit from beyond the arc as well late. Overall, he's a stud in this game because the Wolves were in a position to win up 2 with 2:15 left, and Wiggins was, for as bad as he was in the first half, he was great in the second half. His defense was okay in this game as well, did a pretty good job on the perimeter. The other stud for this game is going to be Shabazz Napier. I mentioned earlier, recapping the game, that he had a bad turnover and a missed 3 in the final couple of minutes of the game. He also, that was the only shot he missed all night. He was 5 of 6 from the field, 2 of 3 beyond the arc, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, only 2 turnovers in 31 minutes. Really strong game from Napier. They can't expect him to score 20 every game like he did, and he had that stretch a couple weeks back. But he had been, you know, making somewhere between 0 and 1 field goal a game here the past week or so. And the Wolves will take 16, 7, 5, and 2 from him any night. So good game overall, really active defensively. Made things difficult for the Bulls to operate. Made things difficult for Chris Dunn. Dunn still had a pretty good game, but at least, you know, he was competing. Napier was competing defensively, and that matters for sure. In terms of duds for this game, Jarrett Culver gets a dud. This is his second straight disappointing game after a really strong, really like a 3-week stretch. Culver finished with only 3 points, 2 assists, 1 rebound, and a block in 25 minutes. 1 of 5 from the field, 1 of 3 from beyond the arc, 0 of 2 from the free throw line, and just really quiet. Was aggressive early in the game, kind of ceded some minutes to Josh Okogie in the middle part of the game, but didn't contribute anything else. I'm not going to give Josh Okogie a dud. He did go scoreless in 19 minutes, was the only Wolf not to score, but he had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and was really good defensively. That said, the combination of Jarrett Culver and Josh Okogie had 3 points on 1 of 8 shooting in this game, 1 of 5 beyond the arc. I will give a dud to Alan Crabb, finished with 5 points, 2 rebounds, but he was 1 of 5 beyond the arc, 2 of 7 shooting overall, and didn't contribute in other areas as Okogie did. Wasn't as good defensively as Okogie, was a minus 15. Team worst by far, Crabb was. So you take those three guys, Culver, Okogie, and Crabb, they combined to score 8 points on 3 of 15 shooting, and 2 of 10 from beyond the arc, 0 of 2 combined from the free throw line. They also combined to have only 9 rebounds between the three of them, and Okogie had 6 of them. So put simply, I mean, there's a reason the Wolves acquired Alan Crabb, and of course he was part of the equation on the negative side of the ledger in this one, but they need guys who can score and do things from the wing. Okogie and Culver can do all the other stuff. They're good defensive players, for the most part, good rebounders, although Culver didn't really do that in this game. Okogie's a good rebounder. They're both good defenders. They're both really good in transition, but neither one of them is a good shooter, and Crabb's made 2 threes I think he was 1 of 4 maybe the other night, so he's basically like 2 for 9, 2 for 10, something like that in his Wolves career. Obviously, that'll pick up a little bit, but that's what the Wolves need out of that position. Wiggins can't be the only wing player that's going to score, because he has those halves where he's just hardly there. And then you're just talking about Karl-Anthony Towns and Robert Covington, who doesn't get a dud in this game, but only had 9 points, squeezed the trigger just 9 times in 31 minutes, 1 of 5 from three. They can't have Covington only attempting 5 threes and making 1 3 each night, because then Towns is going to need to score 40 just for the Wolves to be in the game. And that's the whole thing that Gerson Rosas is trying to solve with the D'Angelo Russell talk. And they just need a dynamic guard who can score consistently, be more consistent than Wiggins, be a better shooter than Wiggins. And Wiggins could still fit as the cutter, as the third option. But the Wolves need somebody who can score from the perimeter, who can be a dynamic passer, but also score in the flow of the offense. Jeff Teague wasn't that guy because he didn't fit the offense. He wasn't a good defender. The Wolves need someone that can compete defensively, score when they need to on offense, be consistent, get the ball to Towns consistently. And Napier actually is a less good version of the player that fits, which is why Napier's actually looked pretty good in this offense. Napier competes defensively. He's a solid offensive player. He's a good 3-point shooter. He's just not quite as high usage of a guy as you'd want in that role. But Napier's actually a pretty perfect backup for this Timberwolves team, for this offense. But I digress. At any rate, the studs in this game are Towns, Wiggins, Shabazz Napier, the duds, Culver and Crabb. Overall, disappointing game, but that's all we need to say about it. We're going to move on. Next, we are going to talk a little bit about Gerson Rosas' comments related to Karl-Anthony Towns being untouchable. Okay, I'm going to invite everybody to go back in time to the first episode. I think it was the first episode right after Christmas, the Karl-Anthony Towns, New York Knicks, Towns unhappy, Knicks monitoring the situation thing came out of the New York Post. I think it was actually on Christmas Day. So I believe it was the day after Christmas that we posted this podcast, where I pretty much just called the report bogus, said this would never happen. Towns is now not going to be traded. Never say never, but he's absolutely not being traded this year, and probably 99% not traded next year. Like, this isn't a conversation we should be having for at least 2 seasons, if not 3. And of course, there's been reports since then. And then there was the whole the Warriors rumor. There's been multiple rumors related to Towns that aren't real rumors, but they still get traction. We've addressed them here. Karl-Anthony Towns addressed them in his first game back from his injury. He said that it was bogus, that the building isn't a circus anymore, that everybody's pulling from the same side of the rope, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't use that analogy exactly, but basically Towns shot everything down, said he's not unhappy. And then Gerson Rosas now has most of the change to this story is Rosas finally went on the record after there were several stories that clearly there was involvement from the Timberwolves. And like John Krasinski posted at The Athletic about how Towns wasn't going to be traded. And John knows what's going on and is in touch with the people in lockstep with the folks over at Target Center in Mayo Clinic Square. But Eric Woodyard from ESPN posted after the Timberwolves game against the Bulls on Wednesday night. I don't know why it was Eric Woodyard that got these quotes, but it was. He wrote an article all about how Towns is untouchable. And Rosas's direct quote direct quote. Listen up, Knicks fans and any other basketball fan that seems to think there's a chance Towns is traded. Rosas' comment, quote, Karl Anthony Towns is as untouchable as they come. He's the best player on our team, and he's the guy we're building around. Everything we do is to help him become the best player and to help us become the best team we can be. He's a special talent that we're going to do anything possible to help him achieve his highest potential, end quote. Gerson Rosas, how often do you hear a front office executive actually go on the record and call a player not only untouchable, but as untouchable as they come? That's his direct quote. He also said he's the best player on our team. Everybody knows that. But that's also not something you hear very often unless you're talking about a LeBron or a, you know, you couldn't even really say that about Kevin Durant when he was playing with Steph Curry. But Rosas went all in and just said it. And he's going to put his money where his mouth is by not trading Towns. It's really not that hard to accomplish. There's no reason to trade your star player who's got 4 years left on his deal. The whole thing is just ludicrous that this even became a story. It's just the ridiculous 12-month nature of the NBA cycle, which is great for legit rumors and legit possibilities and the whole thing. But to waste so much time talking about something that would never happen, and I recognize that I'm now guilty of spending a lot of time talking about it, but I'm not talking about it as a real possibility. I'm talking about how ridiculous it is that we have to talk about this. Again, no way Towns is traded. It's not happening. Rosas went on record to say it. Towns even had some quotes after the game that were along those same lines of basically, hey, just reintegrate into the offense, blah, blah, blah. Ryan Saunders has some quotes in this article. Towns actually finishes with a quote that is pretty interesting related to winning. It wasn't just like the typical, hey, I want to win now. Towns's quote regarding winning at the end of this article from Woodyard at ESPN, quote, I was having a conversation with someone the other day. Fans think it's so easy to win in the NBA and it's very difficult. It's the most difficult thing you can think of. No offense. This is not Lifetime Fitness. This is not LA Fitness. This is the real thing. Margin of error is very slim. And then paraphrasing a little bit, going down, he talks about you can do 98 great things on the court, but if you don't do two of the 100 things great, that could be why you lose, is essentially the end of his quote. And that's what he said about the game against the Bulls, and that's a fair assessment. And obviously Towns was a part of that with his 6 rebounds and his mediocre defense at best. But Towns is, it really does seem like he's starting to get it. He understands that Rosas is going to do anything he can to build around Towns. And there's, I mean, Towns has 4 years of security. There's no reason to get antsy about it. There's no indication to suggest that Towns is unhappy or wants to leave. And there's clear indications that the Wolves are not even considering trading him. Anything else is on the table. Absolutely, Andrew Wiggins could be traded. Absolutely, you know, any of the rookies, Jarrett Culver could be traded. Josh Okogie, last year's first round pick, could be traded. Really, anything could happen except for Towns being traded. And thank goodness Rosas finally went on record and just called him untouchable, because that should save us all from having to rehash this over and over. All right, we will be back on Friday morning previewing the Timberwolves' next game. They're going to go home for a 3-game homestand. It's not an easy homestand, however. They'll be taking on the Rockets on Friday night. Games at 7 o'clock from Target Center, and then they'll take on the Oklahoma City Thunder the very next night. They just played the Thunder at home, like, I don't know, 10 days ago, actually. But they'll take them on again just 12 days later on Saturday. That's the second half of a back-to-back, really tough back-to-back at home. And then a couple days off, or one day off, they'll play Sacramento on Monday before 4 days off and heading back out on the road the following Saturday for a quick West Coast trip against the Clippers and Kings. Your guess is as good as mine why those games couldn't have been spread out a little bit more, but 3 games in 4 days and then 4 days off at home. The Wolves will, I guess, enjoy their rest. Hopefully they'll be able to salvage a win out of this weekend. That Houston Thunder back-to-back is going to be rough, but maybe Monday against Sacramento is, you know, if it's a 9-game losing streak by that point, which is certainly plausible, that's a very winnable game. And we'll go ahead and circle that one on the calendar for the weekend. We'll be back Friday morning to preview the Houston game. We'll touch on the Oklahoma City game for Saturday as well, as well as any news that comes up between now and then. That's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.